الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Verse 194. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام والحرمات قصاص فمن اعتدى عليكم فاعتدوا عليه بمثل ما اعتدى عليكم واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. Someone kindly read the interpretation of the meaning in English, please. 194. Today,
the sacred month is for the sacred month, and for the prohibited things there is the law of equality. Then whoever transgresses the prohibition against you, you transgress likewise against him, and fear Allah, and know that Allah is with Al-Muttaqin.
Barakallah fiqh ya Khalid. يقول تعالى الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام. يحتمل أن يكون المراد به ما وقع من صد المشركين للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه عام الحديبية عن الدخول لمكة وقادوهم على دخولها من قابل. Concerning the statement of Allah, الشهر الحرام for the شهر الحرام, the sacred month for the sacred month. The Shaykh said, it is possible that what is intended is what happened in terms of the mushrikeen preventing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions the year of Hudaybiyah from entering Mecca, and they kept them outside. وَكَانَ الصَّدُّ وَالْقَضَاءُ فِي شَهْرِ الْحَرَامِ وَهُوَ ذُو الْقِعْدَةِ فَيَكُونُ هَذَا بِهَذَا. And that prevention took place in the sacred month of ذُو الْقِعْدَةِ, which is the month that we are in right now. And so that this for that. فَيَكُونُ فِيهِ تَطِيبٌ لِقُلُوبِ الصَّحَابَةِ بِتَمَامِ نُسُكِهِمْ وَكَمَالِهِ. So this maybe means that Allah is trying to give tranquility to the hearts of the companions by them completing their nusuk, the various rites of Hajj, and perfecting them. ويحتمل أن يكون المعنى أنكم إن قاتلتموهم بالشهر الحرام فقد قاتلوكم فيه وهم المعتدون. And the meaning may be that if you had fought them in the month of Haram, they had already fought you in the month of Haram, and they were the transgressors. They were the ones who initiated the fight. فليس عليكم في ذلك حرج. So there's no hardship, there's no difficulty, there's no blame upon you. وعلى هذا فيكون قوله والحرمات قصاص من باب عطف العام على الخاص. والحرمات قصاص من باب عطف العام على الخاص. So then, in this case, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, والحرمات قصاص, would fall under adding something that is particular, something general to something that is particular, meaning the whole class passed the exam and so did Ahmed, even though Ahmed is in the class. So had you said the whole class passed the exam, then we will understand that Ahmed is included, right or wrong? Right. But adding and so did Ahmed is for what? For emphasis. For emphasis. There's a particular thing about Ahmed that required the speaker to add and Ahmed, even though Ahmed is one of the people in the class. Is that clear? So this is in the language, which is known as Babu Atfi al-Am al-Khas. When you mention something general over specific, in this case it's the other way around actually. It's almost like saying, everybody, no one came, Ahmed didn't come to the class, neither did the rest of the class. Right? Nor did the rest of the class. Ahmed didn't come and the rest didn't show up. It's the other way around, where you mention the specific first and then you mention something general afterwards. If it's confusing, don't worry about it. أي كل شيء يحترم من شهر حرام أو بلد حرام أو إحرام أو ما هو أعم من ذلك جميع ما أمر الشرع باحترامه. So that means that everything should be held in, should be considered to be sacred, or is to be considered sacred from the month of Haram or the Balad al-Haram or the Ihram of the person who's doing Umrah or Hajj. أو ما هو أعم من ذلك جميع ما أمر الشرع باحترامه. Or more general than that, everything that the legislator or the legislation in this case had commanded to be held sacred, to be respected, to be honored. فَمَنْ تَجَرَّعَ عَلَيْهَا فَإِنَّهُ يُقْتَصُ مِنْهِ. So whoever transgresses, then there's the rule of equality, which is punishing him with an equal punishment proportional to his transgression. فَمَنْ قَاتَلَ فِي شَهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قُوتِلْ. So whoever fights in the month of Haram, he will be fought against. وَمَنْ هَتَكَ الْبَلَدِ الْحَرَامِ أُخِذَ مِنُ الْحَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ حُرْمًا. And whoever transgresses the land, the Haram, then the Had, which is the penal code, will be established against him, and he will have no protection. Otherwise, usually the Haram is a place where people are protected. So much so that the Jahiliyyah, the people of Jahiliyyah, the Mushrikeen, one of them would see his father's killer in the Haram, he would not even speak to him. He would find his father's killer. His father was murdered by X person. He will see him in the Haram. Due to the respect they had for the Haram, he would not even speak to him. He would not harass him, even though he had been looking for him for revenge. I mean, he killed his father. Chances are he's going to kill him back for killing his father. If he were to meet them in the Haram, he does not even bother to speak to him. The Mushrikeen and their Jahil, they used to honor the Kaaba in this particular fashion. The Haram in this particular fashion. So what about the Muslims? وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُكَافَأً لَهُ قُتِلَ بِهِ. And so, وَمَنْ جَرَحَهُ أَوْ قُتِلَ عَضْوًا مِنْهُ اقْتُصَّ مِنْهُ. Similarly, if one is killed, then he'll be killed equally. And if he is wounded, then an equal wound. If a member has been amputated, then the same thing is to be done to him. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ مَالَ غَيْرِهِ الْمُحْتَرَمْ أُخِذَ مِنْ بَدَلِهِ. And if he takes someone else's wealth, then his wealth is taken. عليكم السلام. ولكن هل لصاحب الحق أن يأخذ ماله بقدر حقه أم لا؟ خلاف بين العلماء. الراجح من ذلك أنه إن كان سبب الحق ظاهرا كالضيف إذا لم يقره غيره والزوجة والقريب إذا امتنع من تجب عليه النفقة من الإنفاق عليه فإنه يجوز أخذه من ماله. I will just bypass this part because I think it's beyond us, inshallah, or beyond me. Let me put it that way. على كل حال. فمن اعتدى عليكم فاعتدوا عليه بمثل ما اعتدى عليكم. هذا تفسير لصفة المقاصة وأن هي المماثلة في مقابلة المعتدي. So here Allah described the nature of قصاص, which is that you basically punish the person with a punishment equally proportional to his transgression. You don't add anything and you don't decrease anything. Just equal, exact equality. ولما كانت النفوس في الغالب لا تقف على حدها أو لا تقف على حدها إذا رخص لها في المعاقبة لطلبها التشفي أمر تعالى بلزوم تقواه وهي تقواه التي هي الوقوف عند حدوده وعدم تجاوزها وأخبر تعالى أنه مع المتقين. Now the nature of the children of Adam is usually, predominantly, one does not stop when it comes to taking his right back. Rather, that desire to seek revenge will lead the person to transgress. يعني someone, you have a small brother who goes to school, and one of his classmates punches him, right? Now, what, let's say equality would be is that you punch this boy back, equal. And you shouldn't punch him, because if you punch him, it's not going to be equal. You let your brother punch him back. But what usually happens? The big brother goes and he hangs him from his feet, you know, and some light, you know, some lamp or something. You may beat him up until he's bleeding because he had beat up your brother. So the nature of the children of Adam is to be revengeful. I want to take my, you know, the right back. So you go beyond the limitations. So there's transgression. So because of this natural quality in the children of Adam, usually Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that we should maintain taqwa, being mindful, being protecting ourselves from Allah's punishment, which is stopping at Allah's limitations and not transgressing them. وَأَخْبَرَ تَعَالَ. And Allah informed us that He is with the muttaqeen. He is with the muttaqeen. أي بالعون والنصر والتأييد والتوفيق. meaning with aid, with victory, with support and success. وَمَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ حَصَلَ لَهُ السَّعَادَ الْأَبَدِيَّةِ. And whoever Allah is with has this quality of ma'iyya, then this person shall attain the eternal bliss. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَلْزَمِ التَّقْوَى تَخَلَّ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ. And whosoever does not maintain taqwa, then his helper, which is Allah, will abandon him. وَخَذَلَهُ فَوَكَلَهُ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. And Allah will disappoint him by leaving him to handle his own affairs. فَصَارَ هَلَاكُهُ أَقْرَبُ وَلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Then his destruction will be closer to him than his jugular vein. If someone is independent of Allah, because Allah did not want to support this slave of his, aiding him, giving him success, then this person is on the verge of destruction. Sooner or later, he will not be able to make it. Because Allah says, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And the human being was created weak, in weakness, we're weak. So unless Allah aids a slave of his, he will not be able to be successful, not in his dunya, not in the life to come. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, verse 195, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verse 195, please.
Bismillah. Spend the cause of Allah, jihad of all kinds, and throw yourselves into destruction by not spending your wealth in the cause of Allah, and do good.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله: يأمر تعالى عباده بالنفقة في سبيله, وهو إخراج الأموال في الطرق الموصلة إلى الله, وهي كل طريق طرق الخير من صدقة على مسكين أو قريب أو إنفاق على من تجب مؤنته. الله عز وجل commands slaves to spend in his cause, and that is paying wealth in the various means which lead to Allah, and these are abundant, all ways of goods, be it a sadaqah that you pay to a miskeen, someone who is extremely poor, or qareeb, someone who is a relative of yours, your kin, or infaqin ala man tajibu mu'natuhu, or even spending upon those whom you're obliged to spend upon, such as your wife and your children and your parents. وأعظم ذلك وأول ما دخل فيه ذلك وأول ما دخل في ذلك الإنفاق في الجهاد في سبيل الله. And the first on the list and the greatest of those in terms of spending is the spending that one does in the jihad في سبيل الله, struggling, fighting in the cause of Allah. Whether jihad here means the various means of struggling, including knowledge, where the ulama do jihad against the kuffar with their pens, or the jihad where it is weaponry and battlefields, and you know, Muslims and non-Muslims engaging in war, where the objective of the Muslims is to make Allah's word the most supreme, and the objective of the disbelievers is to conquer the land and be oppressive in the land. And there's a huge difference between these two intentions. This is why we have to understand jihad in the right context. The Islamic jihad is of noble cause, is for noble objectives. It is not about bloodshed, nor is it about killing people just for the mere purpose of killing them, nor is it about conquering the land and just being oppressive in the land. Rather, it's the exact opposite of that. Whereas the disbelievers, they have no shame. No shame when it comes to fighting. They violate all the rules. The United Nations, which they, you know, put together supposedly to be like a police officer in the world, the United States and Israel have violated every single amendment, every single article of the United Nations Constitution, everything. Every time there's a new, you know, ruling that comes, they ignore it. And they just go do whatever they want to do, killing children, killing innocent people, bombing people with no real objective except oppression in the land, corruption in the land, mischief in the land. So these are the differences between the Muslims and the non-Muslims in this area. فَإِنَّ النَّفَقَ فِيهِ جِهَادٌ بِالْمَالِ وَهِيَ فَرْضٌ كَالْجِهَادُ بِالْبَدَنِ. Spending in jihad is obligatory with wealth, the same way it is obligatory with one's body. وَفِيهَا مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الْإِعَانَةِ عَلَى تَقْوِيَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And it contains tremendous benefits, such as helping, strengthening the Muslims. وعلى توهية الشرك and weakening the shirk وأهله and its people وعلى إقامة دين الله وإعزازه and establishing the deen of Allah and honoring it. فالجهاد في سبيل الله لا يقوم إلا على ساق النفقة. Then jihad in the cause of Allah cannot be established unless people are spending, because you need a lot of things to go for, to fight for the sake of Allah. فالنفقة له كالروح لا يمكن وجودها وجوده بدونها. So then spending is like the soul of jihad, whereby jihad cannot exist without it. I mean, like a body cannot exist without a soul. وفي ترك الإنفاق في سبيل الله إبطال للجهاد وتسليط للأعداء. And if people were to stop spending in the cause of Allah for jihad, then this will necessitate the annulment of jihad along with the تسليط الأعداء. The enemies will be given power and will be given authority over the Muslims. They will start oppressing the Muslims. وشدت تكالبهم, and then شدت تكالبهم, and they will work with one another. They will have like a tact just so they can go against the Muslims, just as you see today. فيكون قول تعالى ولا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة كالتعليل لذلك. So then the ayah, and do not يعني destroy yourselves, which is don't throw yourselves in the places of destruction, means do not stop spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والإلقاء باليد إلى التهلكة يرجع إلى أمرين, ترك ما أمر به العبد إذا كان تركه موجبا أو مقاربا لهلاك البدن أو الروح. Now one destroying oneself refers or goes back to two different matters. First, abandoning that which Allah had made obligatory, or that which will, if you don't do, will cause you destruction, whether it is for the body or the soul. وفعل ما هو سبب موصل إلى تلف النفس أو الروح. And committing that which will ruin one's body or one's soul, such as smoking, drinking, and the likes. فادخل تحت ذلك أمور كثيرة. Included in that are many things. فمن ذلك ترك الجهاد في سبيل الله. An example is abandoning fighting in the cause of Allah. أو النفق فيه الموجب لتسلط الأعداء. لتسلط الأعداء. Or refraining from spending, which will necessitate the giving the disbelievers and the enemies authority over the Muslims. ومن ذلك تعزير أو تغرير الإنسان بنفسه في مقاتلة أو سفر مخوف أو محل مسبع أو حيات. Similarly, stunt, you know, the stuntmen, those who are in the movies, you know, they pull these crazy stunts. Well, you know, we don't have such thing in Islam. If one was to put himself in a situation where he's fighting against another person who will probably kill him, or in a place of fear, or in a place where there are wolves, or scorpions, or snakes, يعني you don't play around with things that will cause you to die. You do not play around with things that may cause your death. And so included in that is maybe bungee jumping, right? And what we have today of you know, these the risks that people take. Now some of the ulama say if you're sure that, you know, that nothing will happen to you if you go for bungee jumping, if there's a high probability that you'll be okay, then it is okay. Otherwise, if you've heard that, you know, people have been dying in this bungee jumping, then you don't do bungee jumping anymore. Okay, because you may go down and never bounce back, right? You know, and khalas, then they put you in the grave. Rather, you may go into your grave ala tul.
Daredevil?
Yeah, anything like that. I've been away from
daring the people.
Daring the devil? Yeah. Hey, a'udhu billah. Yeah, we don't have daring devils in Islam. We have a'udhu billah. We seek refuge with Allah from the devil. Tayyib. نعم. ومن ذلك إيه؟ We mentioned that. أو يصعد شجرا أو بنيانا خطرا. Or if you climb on a tree or a you know tall building, you know some people have, you know, what, height fear. So if they go up, you know, to the Eiffel Tower, and then if they know, if they look down, you know, they probably will faint and fall. Then you don't go up there. أو يدخل تحت شيء في خطر ونحو ذلك. Or anything that will endanger you. Okay, whatever is endangerment for one's you know, one's soul and body is not allowed, because it falls under this ayah, and Allah prohibited us from doing that. فهذا ونحوه ممن ألقى بيده إلى تهلكة. This person and things of and people who do similar things are among those who have destroyed their own selves. ومن ذلك الإقامة على معاصي الله واليأس من التوبة. And included in that, destroying oneself happens by one being consistent or continuously disobeying Allah. الإقامة على المعاصي meaning having it a habit, part of one's daily life is to disobey Allah, and also despairing from tawbah, not believing that tawbah will work or that Allah will accept it. So the person will say, okay, repentance cannot be accepted from me, I'm too evil, so I will continue with my evil ways. This is a person who is destroying himself, because Allah told us in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ told us in the Sunnah that Allah will accept the repentance of the servant no matter what. No matter what it is that one has done in his life, tawbah, the door of tawbah shall remain open until one dies or until the sun rises from the west. Then and only then, it will all be over. But until such time, tawbah is available. So we just have to, you know, get it. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْفَرَائِدِ الَّتِي تَرْكُهَا هَلَاكُ لِلْرُوحِ وَالْبَدَنِ. Similarly, is the one who abandons what obligations Allah has made upon us, then that which will destroy one's soul and one's body. So if you stop praying or you don't go to Jum'ah and things of this nature. وَلَمَّا كَانَتِ النَّفَقَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ نَوْعًا مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْإِحْسَانِ أَمَرَ بِالْإِحْسَانِ عُمُومًا فَقَالَ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now, when spending in the cause of Allah was one form of goodness, Allah commanded goodness in its various forms. So He said, وَأَحْسِنُوا, and do good, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily, Allah loves the good doers. وهذا يشمل جميع أنواع الإحسان لأنه لم يقيده بشيء دون شيء. This includes all kinds of goodness, because Allah did not specify anything as opposed to something else. He didn't say do ihsan in the area of spending only, or in the area of salah, or in the area of treatment with the other Muslims. He said ihsinu, general command which encompasses everything in Islam. We need to do it in a good way. The Shaykh will enumerate some, however. فيدخل فيه الإحسان بالمال كما تقدم. Included in that is being good in terms of spending, as we mentioned earlier. ويدخل فيه الإحسان بالجاه وبالشفاعات ونحو ذلك. بالجاه بالشفاعات ونحو ذلك. Also, جاه is one's status among the people. شفاعة is intercession. So if you hold a particular position in a business and there's a qualified brother who wants to work with you, he's qualified, pay attention. Then you may intercede for him with the boss that this brother is good, he will help the business. Now when is this haram? When there's someone more qualified, right, who really should be working there, and you try to, you know, push him aside and bring your friend into the picture. Then this is no longer shafa'ah, this is dhulm, this is oppression. Because you're favoring people because of your personal relationship, even though in terms of qualification, there's someone who's more qualified. So shafa'ah is when you're able to help a person with something that is rightfully his. We must understand this, right? Something that is rightfully his. He deserves it. But the way it goes is that he needs some sort of intercession, then you may intercede for him because of your status and so on and so forth. So this is بالجاهي بالشفاعات ونحو ذلك. ويدخل في ذلك الإحسان أي ويدخل في ذلك الإحسان بالأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وتعليم العلم النافع. Included in إحسان is enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, and teaching the beneficial knowledge. ويدخل في ذلك قضاء حوائج الناس من تفريج كرباتهم وإزالة شداتهم وعيادة مرضاهم وتشيع جنائزهم وإرشاد ضالهم وإعانة من يعمل عملا إلى آخره. And included in that is providing people with services which will alleviate their problems, and visiting their sick, walking in the funeral processions, and guiding those who are misled among them, and aiding anyone who's doing any kind of work. وَالْعَمَلُ لِمَنْ لَا يُحْسِنُ الْعَمَلُ, and doing work on behalf of someone who's unable to do it as means of aiding him. وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا هُوَ مِنَ الْإِحْسَانِ الَّذِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, and whatever is similar to that which falls under ihsan, which Allah has commanded. ويدخل في الإحسان أيضا الإحسان في عبادة الله تعالى، وهو كما ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Included in إحسان is إحسان in the worship of Allah, and that is as explained or mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that you worship Allah as if you can see Him, but if you cannot see Him then know that He sees you. And as the ulama have explained this, what is intended by that, because you will not see Allah, obviously no one sees Allah in this dunya. What is intended is the worship of desire, the worship of love, the worship of looking forward to pleasing Allah as if you can see Him. If you cannot reach that level, then the level that is below is to know that Allah sees you. So this has more to do with awe, with fear, with being ashamed or shy to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is intense love, right? Intense love, as if you're seeing Allah. And the second level is being afraid, in a sense that you have not reached that level, but this is the level below. But both are included in ihsan, right? Not that anyone will see Allah, because Allah says, لا تدركه الأبصار. You know, that sight cannot encompass him in the dunya. And Musa alayhi salatu salam, he said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. قال لن تراني. And Musa in the Quran told Allah, allow me to look at you. Allah told him, you will not be able to see me. So Allah cannot be seen in the dunya. We worship Allah in the unseen, right? In the unseen. However, the believers will see Allah in Jannah and on the day of judgment, in the qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jalla will come to them, as it comes in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and they will be in the surah غير التي يعرفونها, in an image other than the one that they know. He will say, I am your Lord. They will say, we will wait till our Lord comes. When He comes, you will recognize Him. Then Allah will come to them again and He will say, I am your Lord. They will say, Anta Rabbuna, you are our Lord. And they will follow Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are all events that will take place in the Day of Judgment. However, what is our attitude as people of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah. When Allah comes and when Allah goes, as it comes in the Quran and the Sunnah, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, and your Lord shall come and the angels in rows. We don't have any image of how Allah comes, but we don't deny it. We don't deny it. What is Allah like? Allah is like nothing you've seen. So there's nothing like Allah. So you don't have any images of Allah. But we don't do like the Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila and others who denied Allah's names and attributes. Said you cannot say that Allah sees, you cannot say that Allah hears, you cannot say that Allah has a face, you cannot say that Allah comes or anything. Because they were thinking about Allah like a human being. And because of the sick belief that they had, they denied the Quran and the Sunnah. They had no choice. Because if they affirmed them, then according to them it constitutes disbelief. So Allah guided Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah to the middle path, where we don't deny and we don't liken Allah to His creation. We travel upon the middle path. And if you're all interested in learning more about the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in terms of the names and attributes of Allah, then you're all welcome to join us every Saturday between Maghrib and Isha in Hayy al-Mushrifa Da'wah Center, where we have a dars of Al-Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah with the Sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, dealing with the names and attributes of Allah. Alhamdulillah, we're almost halfway through the book, and we ask Allah to give us all success and beneficial knowledge. Jameel. فمن اتصف بهذه الصفات كان من الذين قال الله فيهم للذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة. So whoever has these qualities will be included among those whom Allah said about, for those who do ihsan, they shall have the husna, the good end, waziyada, and a bonus, an extra. According to the ulama, that ziyada is looking at Allah Azza wa Jal, is seeing Allah in Jannah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ يُسَدِّدُهُ وَيُرْشِدُهُ وَيُعِينُهُ عَلَى كُلِّ أُمُورِهِ. And Allah will be with him, aiding him, guiding him, and granting him success in all of his affairs. This is the muhsin. So this shows you how important it is to be among the muhsineen. And that being the average Muslim does not cut it. Being a regular, ordinary Muslim does not place us in this lofty status of the muhsineen, whom Allah will grant victory and aid in this life and in the life to come. average Muslim who's not among the muhsineen, then he may go to Jahannam, he may be punished, he may make it, he may be successful, he may not. The dunya may become his enemy. You know, so you see that the righteous servant, Allah facilitates his affairs no matter what. And the other one, there's difficulty always. So we need to review ourselves and check, you know, where do we have shortcomings. If we're having, you know, problems, then there must be some sin that we are continuously committing. So we should verify our status with Allah. Is it on good terms or not? And make the necessary corrections before it's too late. وَلَمَّا فَرَغَ تَعَالَى مِنْ ذِكْرِ أَحْكَامِ الصِّيَامِ وَالْجِهَادِ ذَكَرَ أَحْكَامِ الْحَجِّ. And I believe that it's most befitting to postpone dealing with this ayah because it's lengthy, and I don't want to interrupt Dr. Yahya's class, and I want to give you some time to have a break before the next class begins. So with this we will conclude, inshallah. We are at ayah number 196. If we all remain alive and healthy until next week, inshallah ta'ala, then we'll be continuing with the ayah dealing with the rulings of Hajj. And this is very convenient and suitable now that we're just at the doorsteps of Hajj, inshallah ta'ala. And so if any one of you wants to perform Hajj or would like to know more about Hajj, then maybe next week will be a suitable dars for you. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.